Our study continues in the 24th chapter of Genesis. Last time we had gotten through the 61st verse of this chapter. At that point we had studied about the fact that the servant of Abraham went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor, and there found a bride for Isaac. He located Rebekah, and Rebekah did the things that he prayed to God that she would do if she were the right person. The servant was invited into the household of Rebekah's family. He made the offer to the family and Rebekah of this proposal of marriage to Isaac. They immediately agreed, and the next day the servant with his men and Rebekah with her ladies left for Canaan. This journey was about a 25 or 30 day journey on camelback. It was a long, hard, arduous journey. The Bible doesn't tell us any details about it. In our last lesson, we were discussing the fact that Isaac and Rebekah are a true type of Christ and the church, and we showed the similarities of that type and antitype. We also mentioned the fact that Rebekah herself is a true type of the church. Her marriage was planned long before she knew about it. She was necessary for the accomplishment and completion of God's purpose. She was to share the glory of the Son. She learned of the Son through the messenger that was sent by the Father. She immediately left all to go to the Son, loving him before she saw him, and rejoicing with unspeakable joy. She journeyed through the wilderness to meet the Son, and she was guided by the servant in doing that. And she was loved by, and finally united forever to, the Son. And Isaac, like Christ, had many similarities to Christ. He was promised long before his coming, according to Luke 1 and 70. There the 69th and 70th verses say, "And hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began." So he was promised long before he came. We also see that as Isaac was, he finally appeared at the appointed time. Not until the time, but at the appointed time. Galatians 4 and 4. "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." And then we see that Isaac was conceived and born miraculously, like Christ was. Here again we read in Luke 1:35, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And we see that there's another similarity between Christ and Isaac, in that Isaac was assigned an appropriate name by God before his birth. In Matthew 1:21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Another similarity that Isaac has to Christ is that he was offered up in sacrifice by his father. 1 John 2:2, "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Another similarity that Isaac has to Christ is that he was obedient unto death. In Philippians 2:8, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Another similarity here is that he was brought back from the dead. And the Apostle Paul gives us some information about this in Ephesians 1:18-23. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Here Isaac is like Christ, and that he was brought back from the dead to be the head of a great nation and to bless all peoples. Now let us briefly summarize these 7 points in which Isaac is like Christ. First of all, he was promised long before his coming. Secondly, he finally appeared at the appointed time. Thirdly, he was conceived and born miraculously. Fourthly, he was assigned an appropriate name by God before his birth. Fifthly, offered up and sacrificed by his father. Sixthly, was himself obedient unto death. And seventhly, was brought back from the dead to be head of a great nation and to bless all peoples. In the Bible account given here about the seeking of a wife for Isaac, we see that Isaac is again very much like Christ in that he is last seen at the place of sacrifice in Genesis 22:13-16. And although his name is mentioned frequently by Abraham and the servant, Rebekah and others in this narrative, yet Isaac does not yet appear in the story again until he goes out to meet the bride, which is much like Christ as he goes out to meet the bride at the end of the age. In 1 Thessalonians 4:17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 62 says, and Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. So it seems that Isaac had now moved his residence into this southern portion here known as the Negev. This was close to the well where Hagar had gotten relief when she fled from Sarah that time, when she was pregnant with Ishmael. And the name is here called Lahairoi, and this is probably a variation of the name Beer Lahairoi that Hagar had given to this area. And he dwelt in the south country, the verse says. So Isaac had evidently moved further away from the area of Hebron where Abraham dwelt. And he was apparently setting up his own household in this region. And so 62 says that he came from the way of the well Lahairoi. So Isaac had now come back to Hebron. Verse 63 says, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. So he went out to meditate in the evening. And so this shows the devoutness of Isaac. He was a man who worshipped God. He evidently had a regular time for meditation and prayer and devotion to God, which is only something to be a good mark for his character. All of us today should be meditating on God. We should be praying to God. We should be thinking about the things of God and spend some time learning more about God's Word. And so as he lifted up his eyes, he saw the camels were coming. Here was the caravan coming back from the area of Mesopotamia. This long journey that the servant and Rebekah and the others with them were making back now was coming to an end. They were just now arriving in Hebron, and Isaac saw it. And there were more people with this caravan now than there were when it left. Verse 64 and 65 say, and Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. So Rebekah strongly suspected this must be Isaac. She heard so much about him. She'd been talking about him. She'd been wondering what he looked like. But when she saw this man, she asked the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? Who's this coming toward us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. So she appropriately covered herself, this means not only her face, but the rest of her body with this veil. And she then lighted off the camel, which literally means to fall off the camel. So she was ready to meet Isaac. She was getting herself ready, very prepared, so she'd be the very best appearance she could be. And verse 66 says, and the servant told Isaac all the things he had done. So now the servant makes the introduction. He explained to Isaac everything that had happened on the journey, how that he'd met Rebekah and she was willing to come, and he told him all the things he'd done. And while the servant was making these explanations, certainly Isaac and Rebekah patiently waited for him to get through all of these details. They really were interested in meeting each other, and as soon as they had opportunity, they then met for the first time. Rebekah was appropriately dressed, and her total life had been given for the past few weeks to the meeting of her husband. This is her, all of her effort was going to meet the husband. Nothing else was as important to her in the whole world as that. And the husband, as she was coming toward him, was found meditating in the field. worshiping and serving God. So what an appropriate thing. He wasn't doing any shameful thing, anything that he shouldn't have been doing. He was doing the very best thing that you would ever want anybody to be found doing, worshiping God, and she was making preparation to meet her husband. And so what a meeting it must have been. And what a glorious meeting there will be one day in the air when our Lord descends from heaven and we are caught up to meet him, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So verse 67, the last verse in this long chapter, says, "And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." So Isaac, first of all, takes Rebekah to his mother's tent, the tent that had been vacant for some 3 years now since Sarah's death. This would be the tent that Isaac would think would be the very best place for his wife at the moment, where his mother had dwelt. He took Rebekah, that is, he accepted Rebekah. She was, in his mind, very pleasing to him. He wanted her to be his wife. He accepted her, no reservations, and she became his wife. Somehow or other, there was a wedding ceremony of some kind. We don't know just what it was, but formally, officially, she became his wife. And he loved her, which is certainly very appropriate. This wasn't just a marriage of convenience. This wasn't just a marriage by arrangement. This was a marriage in which love was involved. He loved her, and we must assume that she loved him. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. This is the greatest comfort Isaac had had now since his mother died. His mother was the most important woman in his life, and she died. She was no longer here. Now, Rebekah would certainly be the most important woman in his life. Sometime after this marriage between Isaac and Rebekah, they moved back to the place known as Lahairoi, and there is where Isaac made his home. We read in Genesis 25, verse 11, "And it came to pass, after the death of Abraham, that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well Lahairoi." So now Isaac has got a permanent residence. This brings to an end the 24th chapter of Genesis. It's been a very interesting and enlightening chapter. It's the story of the selecting of the bride for Isaac. And it's a parallel story to the selecting of the bride for Christ, the church today. So we see many parallels there, many deep lessons for us today. And so it really is a very important chapter. That brings to a close the 24th chapter of Genesis.